Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, the verses 1 through 4, which is also our text. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Dear friends, the Song of Solomon, from which our text is taken this morning, is one of the most difficult books in the Bible. One of the difficulties has to do with interpretation. How should we interpret this book? Some more modern commentators interpret this book on a purely human level. It is a poem celebrating human love, they say. Others, particularly the older commentators, interpret this book on a purely spiritual level. It is a poem celebrating the love between Christ and his church. Well, who is right? Well, perhaps the best interpretation lies somewhere in between these two extremes. The Song of Solomon is a poem that indeed celebrates the love between a man and a woman, but it is more than that. Ultimately, it points to the love between Christ and his church. Just as a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man, so Christ loves his church and his church loves Christ. Once we understand this, the book, though not without some challenges, can be very helpful to the people of God. Matthew Henry writes this, It requires some pains to find out what may probably be the meaning of the Holy Spirit in the several parts of this book. As David's songs are many of them leveled to the capacity of the meanest, and there are shallows in them learned, and there are depths in it which an elephant may swim, but when the meaning is found out, it will be of admirable use to excite pious and devout affections in us. And the same truths which are plainly laid down in other scriptures, when they are extracted out of this, come to the soul with a more pleasing power. When we apply ourselves to the study of this book, we must not only with Moses and Joshua put off our shoe from off our foot, and even forget that we have bodies, because the place where we stand is holy ground, but we must, with John, come up hither, must spread our wings, take a noble flight, and soar upwards, till by faith and holy love we enter into the holiest. For there is no other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, during the past few weeks, we have been considering the theme of communion with God. We have seen that communion with God is one of the greatest blessings we can ever enjoy on this earth. When we have communion with God, we have everything we need. We have peace, joy, happiness, and satisfaction. Unfortunately, however, the child of God does not always experience such communion. In fact, sometimes he feels very far from him. This makes him very restless. He cries out for God. He searches for him. And when he finds him, he embraces him and will not let him go. Now, this experience of the child of God is beautifully illustrated in the words of our text, the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In these verses, we have a most beautiful love story. A young woman, known in the book as the Shulamite, is seeking for her beloved. And it's to this love story that I would like to draw your attention this morning. The theme for the sermon is the Shulamite seeks for her beloved. And we'll consider first her painful loss, secondly her diligent search, and thirdly her gracious reward. It was the middle of the night. A young woman known as the Shulamite is lying on her bed. She is fast asleep. Suddenly she wakes up. Why she woke up we do not know. Perhaps she was startled by a noise. Perhaps it was cold and she simply wanted to pull the covers over her head. Whatever the case, she awoke. No sooner did she wake up than she discovered something very disturbing. Her beloved was not there. How painful this was for her. You see, she loved her beloved. Notice how she describes him, him whom my soul loveth. She was knit to him as the body is knit to the head. She could not bear to be without him. But now, without warning, he is gone. Sometimes the child of God can experience something similar. As I said in my introduction, the child of God does not always experience communion with God. He does at times, to be sure, but not always. Sometimes God withdraws himself from them. What is more, sometimes he withdraws himself very suddenly. Such was the case here. Only a few moments ago, her beloved was with her in bed. In fact, not long before, he made love to her. We read of that in chapters 1 and 2. But now, all of a sudden, he is gone. And this raises the question, why does God sometimes do this? Why does God sometimes hide his face from his people? There may be several reasons for this. Sometimes God withdraws from his people because they refuse to confess and repent of sin. I think, for example, of David in Psalm 32. In this psalm, David describes how he felt before he made confession of his sin before God. He says that his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. Day and night, God's hand was heavy upon him. His moisture was turned to the drought of summer. Such is the condition of all those who do not confess their sins before God and seek for his forgiveness. They feel far from him. His face is turned against them. His hand is heavy upon them. But sometimes God withdraws from his people because they become careless and lazy. And I believe that was the case here. Notice that it was while she slept that the beloved withdrew from the Shulamite. Had she not fallen asleep, he would still be with her. And the same can happen to us. Often the Lord withdraws from his people when they sleep, when they become careless and lazy and complacent, when they do not persevere in reading and meditating on the Scriptures, when they do not pray, when they do not attend the worship services of God faithfully, when they do not listen attentively to the preaching, when they do not strive to put sin to death and walk in the ways of the Lord, when they allow their love for God and for his people to grow cold. When this happens, God withdraws. The Lord departed from Samson while he slept. The virgins in the parable missed the bridegroom because they were sleeping. And the same can happen to us if we're not careful. But sometimes God withdraws from his people so that they will value him more. It has often been said that you never know how valuable something is until you no longer have it. And that is true also with respect to our relationship with God. And that may be why he hides his face from us, so that we may realize how precious he is and to value him more than we ever have before. Well, my friends, what about you? How is your relationship to God this morning? How would you describe it? Do you feel close to God? Or do you feel that he is far away from you? And if the latter is the case, what is the reason for this? Is there an unconfessed sin in your life? Have you become careless and lazy? Or is the Lord simply teaching you to value him more? Whatever the reason, this is not the way it should be. The Lord does not want us to feel distant from him. He wants us to experience full and complete communion with him. But someone says, how can this be achieved? The answer is, we must search for him. And that leads to our second point. No sooner did the Shulamite discover that her beloved was gone than she searched for him. We read in our text, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now, this is what every child of God does when he senses that the Lord is no longer present. He searches for him. He doesn't just sit back and say, well, God is sovereign, I guess there's nothing I can do. No, he searches for him. And how does he do this? How does the child of God search for God? He does this in several ways. He diligently reads and meditates on the Scriptures, for he knows that it is in the Scriptures that God can be found. He also reads good, sound books that will help him grow in his understanding of who God is and how he works. He will attend church as faithfully as possible, to hear the word of God proclaimed by faithful ministers of the gospel. He will pray regularly, fervently, and with importunity. He will seek the counsel, advice, and direction of the pastor and the elders of his church, of a godly friend, parent, relative, or member of the congregation. In short, he will utilize all of the means of grace at his disposal, and he will keep using them until he receives what he is looking for. And that is the case here as well. The Shulamite searched for her beloved. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. But I want you to notice something. You'll notice that at first she limited her search only to her bed. Perhaps she rolled over to see if he was still lying beside her. Perhaps she popped her head out from under the covers to see if he was somewhere in the room. Perhaps she quietly called out his name in the darkness. We do not know. What we do know is that she searched for him, but only in her bed. And what was the result of this search? Well, she did not find him. She says herself, "I sought him, but I found him not." She felt for him. She looked for him. She called out his name, but he was nowhere to be found. She did not find him. What did she do next? Well, notice what she did not do. She did not give up searching. Many people do this. They say, "Well, I've been seeking for the Lord for many years now, and I still have not found him, so I might as well just give up." But that's not what the Shulamite did. No, she kept searching. What is more, she intensified her search. We read in verse 2, "I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth." The Shulamite here resolves to leave the warmth and comfort of her bed and to go out into the cold night air and walk up and down the streets of the city in order to find her beloved. Now, my friends, that was no small matter. For a woman to wander the streets at night was very dangerous in ancient times. She could be robbed, or worse. What is more, it was socially unacceptable. What would people say? A young woman walking the streets at night? Imagine the rumors that would go around the next day throughout the city. But none of that mattered to her. She wanted her beloved, and she was prepared to do anything, go anywhere, and make any sacrifice in order to find him. Oh, how much we can learn from this Shulamite, my friends. Sometimes people complain that they do not feel close to the Lord. They do not sense his presence. They have so little joy and love and peace. Oh, they remember with fondness the time when they did experience these things. But those times are gone. Now all is dark and dry and lonely. Well, this is very possible, as we have also seen. We do not always feel close to God. In fact, sometimes, perhaps even many times, we feel very far from him. But the question that I want to ask you this morning is, what are you doing about that? Are you simply accepting this as a matter of fact? Or are you doing as the Shulamite did? Are you searching for him? One of the reasons, I believe, why we do not always enjoy full communion with God is that we are not prepared to do anything, to go anywhere, and to make any sacrifice in order to find him. Oh yes, we are prepared to seek him in our bed. We are prepared to seek him if it does not inconvenience us too much, if it does not involve too much of our time, if it does not require us to make too many sacrifices and too many changes in our life. But we are not prepared to seek him in the streets. We are not prepared to do whatever it takes and to go anywhere and to make any sacrifice. Oh, how we need to take instruction from the Shulamite, my friends. She was prepared to do any of these things. She wanted one thing and one thing only. She wanted to find her beloved. Well, what was the result of her search? Surprisingly, still, she did not find him. Now, this is not that unusual. Sometimes the Lord is not found by them who seek Him, even by those who seek Him diligently, at least not right away. Job experienced this. In Job 23, verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him." The psalmist in Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, says something similar. He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Or I think of the psalmist in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is Thy God? And I could cite many other passages. The point is, God is not always found by those who seek Him. Sometimes He remains hidden from them, at least for a time. Why does He do this? Why does God sometimes hide His face from His people, even from those who diligently seek Him? Let me suggest at least two reasons. First of all, He does this to test or try our faith. Sometimes if your child really wants something, for example, a toy for his birthday, you will tell him to wait. And you do that because you're testing his resolve. You're testing to see how much he really wants what he's asking for. And if he keeps asking you for the same toy, then you know he really wants it. So it is in our relationship to God. Sometimes the Lord hides his face from us in order to determine to what lengths we are prepared to go in order to find him. And by that, he knows, and we know, how much we really desire him. But secondly, sometimes the Lord does this to teach us that although the means of grace are necessary, and although they are to be used, even diligently, yet God will not reveal himself to us unless he chooses to do so. We must remember, my friends, that God is sovereign. As such, he cannot and will not be manipulated, not even by the means of grace that he has appointed for us to seek him by. That may be difficult for us to understand and fully grasp, but nonetheless, I think it is a truth, and it's one that we must ponder carefully and prayerfully. God will reveal himself to us, but it will be in his own time and in his own way. Now, does this mean that we may never find him? Is it possible that one can go throughout his entire life seeking after God and yet never find him? No, it is not. And we'll consider that under our third and final point. The Shulamite spent a considerable amount of time searching for her beloved. She went up and down the streets. She looked in every alley and on every street corner. But still, she could not find him. After some time, the watchman found her. Watchmen were men, usually soldiers, who were employed by the government to patrol the streets of a city at night. They were also to watch out for potential invaders, which is why they were often positioned on the city walls. And if they found any invaders, they were to sound the alarm. Now, the Church of Christ also has watchmen. They are the elders and pastors of the church. Like watchmen, the elders and pastors are called to patrol the Church of Christ. They are required to ensure, as much as possible, that everyone's conduct and confession is in accordance with the Word of God. If it is not, they are required to warn the person. And when danger is present, they are required to sound the alarm and to instruct people where to find safety. This is true also here. We do not know what these watchmen said to the Shulamite. It is not recorded. Most likely, they were surprised, if not somewhat suspicious even. Perhaps they told her that it was dangerous to be out in the streets at night. Perhaps they encouraged her to go home. We do not know. We do know that these watchmen were not always friendly towards her. We know that because a few chapters later, in chapter 5, verse 7, we read that on another occasion, the Shulamite went out in the streets at night to search for her beloved. And we read that the watchmen found her. And what did they do? Well, the text tells us they smote her, and they wounded her, and they took away her veil, which probably means they molested her. And the Shulamite knew this. She knew that these watchmen were not always friendly towards her, but she wanted to find her beloved. And therefore, not knowing what else to do, she asked them, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Notice again how she speaks of her beloved. She does not call him by his name. She describes him as him whom my soul loveth, as though the watchman should know exactly of whom she spoke. The watchman, however, did not know. They gave her no answer. At least, none is recorded. And that shows that not all watchmen are true watchmen. Oh yes, they may know their duty, and in some cases they do it faithfully, but they do not know the beloved. Consequently, when the sinner comes to them seeking relief for the burden of their soul, they do not know what to say. They cannot direct them to Christ. And in some cases, they even persecute them and mistreat them and take advantage of them. That was the case here as well. These watchmen were not able to answer the Shulamite. She asked where she could find her beloved, but her question was met only with stony silence. Unable to find the information she was looking for, the Shulamite kept searching. Not long after she left them, however, she found the one she was looking for. At last she found her beloved. We read in verse 4, "It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth." We see here that although the child of God may search long and hard for Christ, eventually they will find him. Or rather, he will be found of them. And that is entirely in accord with the teaching of Scripture. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, God says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early," or the word could also be translated diligently, "shall find me." I think of Isaiah 45, verse 19. "I said not under the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Or Lamentations 3, verse 25. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And Matthew 7, verse 7, where the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Yes, those who seek the Lord will find him. Perhaps not right away, but they will find him. Oh, what an incentive we have then to seek the Lord. Are you unconverted this morning? My friend, seek the Lord. Do you feel distant from the Lord this morning? My friend, seek the Lord. He may not reveal himself to you right away, but he will reveal himself. Of that you can be absolutely certain. The Shulamite therefore sought the Lord, and she also found him. And when she did not let him go. We read in verse 4, "I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." The Shulamite was so happy to find her beloved that she refused to let him go. Such is the experience of every child of God who find the Lord Jesus Christ. When he finds him, he will not, cannot, let him go. And why not? Because Christ is everything he needs. He is peace and joy and life. As long as he has Christ, he does not need or desire anything else. The child of God who finds the Lord Jesus is like Mary Magdalene on Easter morning. You remember the story. Mary and some other women had come to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. When they discovered that the stone had been rolled away and that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb, Mary ran back to the city to tell Peter and John, who promptly came to verify the story. When Peter and John left, however, Mary remained behind, weeping for sorrow. Sometime later, the Lord Jesus came to her and asked her why she was weeping. She, thinking he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, said, "Mary." And immediately Mary knew that it was Jesus. Turning, she said to him, "Rabboni, my Lord, my Master," and ran to embrace him. She held him so tightly and for so long that Jesus had to say to her, "Touch me not, Mary," meaning, "Do not cling to me, Mary, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Why did Mary cling to Jesus like this? Because he was everything she needed and desired. As long as she had him, she had everything. Well, my friends, is that true of you this morning? Is the Lord everything you need and desire? Perhaps there are some listening to my voice this morning for whom this is not the case. You find satisfaction in the world and in the things of the world. God means nothing to you. In fact, you are bored with him. You may come to church and you may do everything that you're supposed to do, but your heart is not in it. You're just going through the motions. My friend, you do not know what you are missing. The world and everything in it has nothing to offer you. It cannot offer you lasting satisfaction, nor can it meet your most fundamental need. Only God can do that. And therefore go to him. Seek for him. And when you have found him, never let him go. For when you have him, you have everything. With this, one of the greatest love stories ever written comes to a wonderful conclusion. We've considered this morning the Shulamite seeking for her beloved. She sought for him, first in her bed, and then in the streets. She inquired of the watchman, and finally she found him, and fell into his embrace, and would not let him go. Do you know something of this in your own life? Does this story parallel your own experience? May God grant that all of us may seek this Savior with all of our heart, and having sought him, may also find him. For there is no greater happiness than to find Christ and to live in him and with him to all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's always a great encouragement to us to hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. For the benefit of those listeners living in Calgary, I am scheduled to lead the services there today, December the 28th, 2008, at 9:30 a.m. and 4 o'clock p.m. Please come and join us. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to The Banner of Truth. For more information about The Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for The Banner of Truth.